This morning I want to take you through 7 or 8 verses, and I hope this morning to build your faith. So I hope, hopefully that part will be inspiring for you. And I want to start this morning with Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. Through the week I was having breakfast, and I decided in a moment of brilliance that I was going to start having boiled eggs for breakfast. So I got all my eggs and boiled them all, a whole packet. I got out my first egg. As I was sitting there, I look across at my one-year-old son, Nicholas, and he's got his hand out like this. He wants my boiled egg. Cute little kid that he is. And as I looked at him, I was tempted to, he's not having my breakfast. He's always asking for my food. The verse popped into my head that we're about to read. If your son asks for an egg. So I thought, with that first verse in my mind, how could I say no to the little guy? So he got my egg. First time he's ever had a boiled egg, and I don't think he even liked it. Just take a little bite and spit it on the table, all these little white bits all over the table. But he did eat the yolk, so he got something out of it. Anyway, we're going to read Luke 11, 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I've actually never had one of my kids ask me for a fish. But I have had a kid ask me for an egg. And if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And in Matthew's Gospel, there's a very similar verse that says, if your children ask, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? So God's kind of waiting to give out good things. In my case, I only had 12 boiled eggs, so there would have been a limit to the amount of eggs I could have handed out. But in God's case, he's got an unlimited supply of good things to hand out. So he doesn't run out. And he's not stingy. And, we are evil and sometimes we do say no to our kids. But God isn't like that. And so I want to take you on a little bit of a hopefully faith-inspired little journey this morning to just make you feel that God is ready to give you things. And to do things for you simply because you're going to ask. And in this particular situation, if Nicholas had never put out his hand, he would never have got an egg. He only got it because he asked. And so the thought of giving him an egg never occurred to me, but he got it because he asked. Now, in God's case, the thought of giving us good things occurs to him all the time. He's always thinking of how he can bless us, but we still need to ask. And in many cases, we don't get things from God just because we don't ask. And we don't ask for all sorts of reasons, and sometimes we don't think we're good enough to ask because our hearts don't fit. In our hearts, we don't feel good enough. And we'll read a verse about that very shortly. So I want to inspire you today with a few personal stories as well. So as you know, or you may be aware, in our family, we pray every day for a different country of the world. And I've got a book called Operation World, and every day there's information about different countries and prayer requests. So we got to China about a week ago. And China is such a big country with one-sixth of all the world's people live in China. So it takes up a big chunk of the book. Little countries only have got one page. Australia's only got one page. But China's got 40 pages. Every province of China has prayer requests. So I thought to myself, we're going to dwell a little bit on China. Not just pray for China for one day, we're going to spend some time. And I have this other book at home called Operation China, which I've never ever read. I bought it from our own bookstore on the throwout rack because it was a dollar. I don't know who was managing the bookstore back then, but they bought this book in from Koorong and no one was interested in it. And eventually, after several years in the bookshelf, they just wanted to get rid of it. So it was a dollar and I got it, and it's all the unreached people, well, all the people groups of China. There's 500 and something of them. So I said to the family, we're just going to pray for a few of the Chinese people groups. Because the facts are, even though there's a great revival going on in China and there's, well over 100 million Christians now, there's still well over 1 billion people that aren't saved. So there's actually still really, really big needs in China. So we flick open this book, and here's this people group right there on the first page called the Sogwa Arig. Never heard of them before. So I thought, this looks interesting. We start reading about the Sogwa Arig. So I'm going to read now to you now what I have taken out of this book. This is out of Operation China by Paul Hathaway. He spent 10 years of his life researching these 500 people groups. The Sogwo Arig are a Mongolian tribe living in the midst of countless small Tibetan clans in one of the most remote locations in the world. Over the course of many centuries, the Sogwo Arig language and culture has gradually assimilated to the Tibetan. However, today, the Tibetans in the area know that the Sogwo Arig are Mongol and they view them as separate people. The Sogwo Arig are either followers of Tibetan Buddhism or Bon. They worship at crude sacrificial altars constructed of yak dung piled about 3 feet high, upon which they offer animal sacrifices to various gods and demons. Approximately 48,000 members of the Sogwo Arig tribe live in Tsangar Gongpa, a district within the Tongdi County in the Hainan Golog Prefecture, and in parts of neighbouring Henan County. Tongdi lies to the east of the Yellow River in Qinghai Province. The Qinghai Plateau at a minimum elevation of 3,500 metres above sea level is snowbound for 9 months of the year and a muddy bog for the other 3 months. Hidden away in communities virtually inaccessible to the outside world, the Sogwo Arig are untouched by Christianity. Intrepid, I put that word intrepid in bold here, you'll see in a minute. Intrepid evangelists will need to overcome severe weather, rugged terrain, linguistic and cultural barriers, and fierce packs of dogs, which the Sogwo Arig have trained to attack strangers. So there you go. That part about the fierce packs of dogs got my attention. I thought, man, here's a group of people that's never had a missionary. They're kind of in an isolated area, which hard to get to, different language, different culture, and they've trained up packs of dogs to keep you away. So who's feeling keen to volunteer? Well, I was feeling burdened about this because I thought to myself, for starters, no one really knows about these people. And then the few people that do know about them probably aren't wanting to go volunteer. And it's been several thousand years and these people don't know about Christianity. In fact, there's not even one single Christian. Gospel materials are available to them if they happen to get to them via other means. So it's just a completely unreached group of people. So we decided the other day at our home to pray for this group of people. And how I prayed was I prayed God would send someone. Now, what I really wanted to do was I wanted to be the person to go. I just felt so sad in that moment that I wanted to be the person to go to these people. But of course, I can't go because I've got a job to do here that God's called me to, and I've got children. But there is someone that's supposed to go. And the only way to get them there is to pray for them. Pray for that person to know, to hear the call and to feel moved. I secretly wondered if it was David Elijah, but I didn't tell him. So I prayed my prayer in a certain kind of way to give him all the hints. But he didn't get the hint. But anyway, it may not have been him. I was just, you know, thinking of who was a volunteer available person that could give their life to this group of people. And so we prayed for this group of people. And they've been stuck in my mind for several days, and every time I think of them, I pray for them again. So then, I was reading my Bible, and we got to the next verse that I'm going to share with you. It comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. And this verse gave me a lot of faith. It said, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." And then when I read that verse, I knew that my heart doesn't condemn me. I feel accepted by God and that he loves me. And the first thing I wanted to do was pray for these people because I knew God was going to hear my prayer. So I prayed again in my prayer time for these Sogwo Arig people. I don't even know if I'm saying their name right, but I prayed for them again. But then it just reminds me in this verse that if we in our hearts do not feel condemned by God, we can ask for anything. But a lot of people don't ask God for things because they feel not good enough. They don't feel God has completely accepted them and they don't feel he's going to listen to their prayers. Or they feel that certain prayers God will listen to, but certain prayers he won't listen to. But this scripture tells us if our hearts don't condemn us, we'll have confidence. If we feel accepted by God, in other words, it comes down to what we believe. It comes down to our faith. And do you think God listened to my prayer? I do believe he did. I believe he listened to my prayer, and I've got no way of knowing what's going to go on with these people, but I do feel that God's heard my prayer. And at the end of the service, I want to just have a united prayer for these people. I want you all to join me in that. And so I think that we've got to start believing that God is listening to us and wanting to give us the things we ask. Just like when your children ask you for things, you give them to them because they ask, just because you want to. And God is has a bigger heart, a more giving nature, and he's, if our hearts don't condemn us, in other words, if we feel that he's open to us, which he is all the time, we're going to have many, many of our prayers answered. I want to turn the page in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. There's another very similar verse here. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in accordance to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." And so there's almost no limit to what we can get from God if we ask with confidence. And confidence is faith. That's what confidence is. And so I wanted to take a few minutes and remind you, maybe you haven't heard some of these things before, but some of you will have, of some of the things that have happened in answer to prayer in our lifetimes. I remember in grade 4 at school, we used to watch a weekly television show called BTN, Behind the News. And we never watched television at home, but we watched BTN. So the things we saw on that half an hour really stuck in the mind and they were remembered. And I remember one day we were looking at the fall of the Iron Curtain. The fall of the Berlin Wall was on the news. And I didn't really understand what that was all about. But since that day, I've read a lot about that and I've learned that that was a big answer to prayer. That was the end of communism. Now, communism hasn't quite ended in the world, but the stronghold of communism was destroyed. And that was an answer to prayer. And people like Brother Andrew traveled the world telling Christians everywhere to pray for the fall of the Iron Curtain. And around the world, millions of Christians were praying for the defeat of the stronghold of communism. And then one day in the news, boom, it's all over. Before you know it, and Europe is open to the gospel, and people start getting saved, and churches start getting planted, and it just seems normal. And what I mean by that is that you're living your regular life, and it's just something that happens in the news. It doesn't seem like an amazing event, like suddenly there was a booming voice from God. It wasn't like the walls of Jericho that collapsed in front of your eyes. It wasn't one of those super, super amazing things. It was just something that seems normal, but it was actually an amazing answer to prayer. Millions of Christians praying for decades inside and outside of communism, and the stronghold of communism is defeated and it comes down. And the reason that communism was defeated was because people prayed. And in fact, in East Germany, there was a prayer meeting that started and a candlelight prayer meeting that began one night. It was just a few people praying by candlelight for the fall of for the fall of the Berlin Wall, and the next night a few more people, and the next night a few more people, and over time that prayer meeting grew to become thousands and thousands of people. And then one night all these thousands of people were there and said, "Let's just push down the wall." And it just happened, an answer to prayer. And so I look at the history of the world in the time that even the time that I've lived, and I see these great amazing changes that have come from just the simple fact that people decided to ask God for things. And the world changes. And yet, people who don't know the Lord, they can't see it. They just think it's just history and it's just a series of events and one thing causes another thing, and they don't see that God is at work. And Christians often don't see it either. They don't see the huge power that's in prayers. So a group of people like the Sogro Arig may go hundreds and hundreds of years without being touched by the gospel because A, nobody really knows about them, and nobody really prays. But the minute people become aware and start to pray, something will happen. Someone will just go and start being a missionary there, and it'll seem like a normal everyday event that, you know, someone's gone to China as a missionary. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he's joined the other 20,000 missionaries in China. Isn't that wonderful? But it's an answer to prayer. Something's changing. And that's why we've got to start praying for lots of things, because it changes things. In Uganda, I'm not old enough to remember how terrible Uganda was, but some of you were alive when Idi Amin was there, and then Uganda was also called the nursery of AIDS. Some of you have heard of that. That's the place where AIDS began. Terrible scourge of AIDS, and AIDS got so bad in Uganda that one in three people had AIDS. Do you know that when I was in Uganda in 2013, they told me that the reason that AIDS was overcome and the reason that Idi Amin was thrown out and the Islamic, Idi Amin was Islamic and there was a whole big push for Islam in Uganda. The reason that all of that turned around was, he said, because we in Uganda realised that these were spiritual problems and we began to pray about them. AIDS in Uganda has fallen and fallen and fallen and fallen as a result of Christians who just pray about it. There's lots of other countries around the world where AIDS continues to rise, but in Uganda, AIDS falls. And in fact, in the year 2000, the president and the president's wife of Uganda had a giant big prayer meeting in the National Stadium in Kampala, and they had about 50,000 people there, and they dedicated the nation of Uganda back to Jesus, and they invited Jesus into their nation. And Uganda is now one of the most Christian nations in the world, with over 90% of people believing and following God. And you have to say to yourself, well, that's just because people prayed. AIDS going from 30% down, because people just prayed. There's not very many countries in the world where Islam has been strong and just been turned around and pushed out, and now it's 90% Christian, but it's because the people prayed. And there's lots and lots of examples I could give you. In 1991, Mongolia had a total of four Christians. Four. One, two, three, four. And now they have 100,000 Christians as a result of prayer. And there's lots and lots of examples of prayer. Every year, Christians all around the world participate in what's called 30 Days of Prayer for Muslims. It's during the month of Ramadan, the Islamic month of Ramadan, which changes every year. And Christians all around the world every year, more and more and more of them are praying for Muslims. And do you know what's now happening? Since the 30 days of prayer and since the raised awareness of prayer for Muslims, more Muslims than ever have started becoming Christians. It's just because people pray. It's very, very simple. And in fact, I recently heard or read an article where someone predicted that within 100 years, the stronghold of Islam would be completely demolished and gone. And I think to myself, that's something to believe for and pray for. Imagine that. Within 100 years, Islam just a spent force in the world and the gospel conquering kingdom. Well, that's what the Bible tells us. It says that the kingdom will grow and fill the earth. So that means these strongholds, the stronghold of Islam will be conquered, but it will be conquered through our prayer. The stronghold of Hinduism in India will be conquered. The stronghold of Tibetan Buddhism, which is one of the difficult ones, and that's one of the ones that binds up this Sogro Arig people. That stronghold will be beaten, and all these strongholds will be conquered through prayer, through faith, and through obedience. I want to take you to John chapter 14 and read another scripture. The Bible is full of these types of verses. John chapter 14, verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You know what I've started asking for recently? I've started asking for the salvation of the Sheikh of Dubai. That might be a bold thing to say in public, but I've been praying that that guy will become a Christian. He's one of the world's most wealthiest people, and he's in charge of a country, and he has huge influence, and he's opened up his country to lots of foreigners to come, including lots of Christians that come and live there. And I just... well, why not ask for things like this? Why wouldn't we consider prominent people in the world and pray for them? In fact, Paul does say that we must pray for kings. And the Sheikh of Dubai is one of those kings. And there's lots of people in this world who are kings. I would encourage you all to have several prominent people that you pray for. Maybe they may be Hollywood movie stars, well-known people that are very influential in the world, and just make it your life's goal to pray for these people. Because God answers prayer. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 14, verse 14. In our Monday morning prayer meeting, I'm going to let out a little secret here. You know, we have these early morning prayer meetings every morning of the week, and I'm in charge of the Monday one. But when they started, I said to our little group of people, there's about six or eight of us, depending on whatever day it is, I said, we need a prayer request that no one else is praying for. Because when it gets answered, we're going to know it was us that did that. Right? So... Well, it's already been answered, actually. We started praying for air conditioning in our church at the start of the year. And it was getting towards the end of the year, and we didn't have any air conditioning. And I was thinking to myself, am I going to mention this prayer or not? You know, like, because we prayed by the end of the year. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, ta-da! So on Monday morning, the next morning in our prayer meeting, I was very quick to point out to everybody that we have had our prayer answered. So, and it's not to say that other people weren't praying as well, because, you know, I'm sure there are some people in this church, I know my wife would be one of them, who's been praying for air conditioning for a long time. So it wasn't only our prayers, but the fact is that there's lots of things that could happen if we asked for them to happen. But there's lots of things that don't happen because we don't ask and we don't pray and we don't believe. And like I keep telling the youth, we've got to pray for more stuff. I know that's a crude way of saying it. We've got to pray for more things because we're going to get more things answered. Let's turn over in our Bibles to the next chapter, John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this kind of theme of asking keeps coming up quite regularly through the Bible. There's a story I have told the youth before, and one Saturday we were driving our family to the beach. I can't remember why, perhaps it was just a day at the beach. And there's a sign up saying helicopter rides. And so there's this unanimous outcry from all of our children for a helicopter ride. And, you know, we had six children at the time, it was a lot of money, but we pulled in just to at least inquire as to the price, and turned out that he was going to do us a special deal. He'd fly us all for $780. Special deal. Oh, thank you for your special deal. We might have to do it another day. And as we're driving away, all the kids are complaining. Oh, Dad, we just want a helicopter ride. All right. So in those moments, you do the thing that makes all the children happy. You say, well, just right now we can't do that, but let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to give us a helicopter ride. So Lord, public prayer in front of all the kids. Lord, I pray that you would give us a helicopter ride. Now me, no faith whatsoever. I'm just doing the prayer to keep the kids happy. But I tell you what, in the back of the car, there were six children with faith who agreed with that prayer. 3 weeks later, my wife gets this notification on Facebook. Ta-da! You've won a free helicopter ride. What? For one person, right? So that's a start. So she inquires, and then it turns out that Daryl Cocker, who runs the helicopter business, found out that it was our family. We had eight kids. He said, oh, what the heck, we'll take you all. So about 3 or 4 weeks later, we all went down and had a helicopter ride. Now, man, we got to ask for more stuff. That's a personal thing. I didn't even care about the helicopter ride for myself. I was so happy for my children that they got a helicopter ride. But personally, I would never have prayed for that. It's not something that interests me, but simply because we prayed and all my children had faith, we had an answer to prayer. And sometimes God does answer prayers really quickly, and even with a very, very small amount of faith, although I'm sure some of my little boys probably had huge faith. We've got to ask for more things. We've got to pray more. My father has a book that's now been translated into Spanish because I prayed. I did have faith for that. I didn't know when or how it was going to happen, but I prayed and I asked the Lord to provide us a Spanish translator. And then someone sent us a message on the internet. That person came to visit us, stayed in Mum and Dad's house, turned out to be a very genuine person. We got to know them. He went back. People in his church have translated the book. All of that took place within about 6 or 7 months from the time I started to pray. Now I'm praying that the other books will be translated into Spanish. I'm praying for Dad's books to be translated into other languages too, and I invite you to join with me for that. simply because of asking. So, how many things do we not have in our lives because we don't pray? Probably a lot. We're kind of limited in two ways. We're limited, one, by our faith, because we don't believe God can do some of the things we ask for. And we're also limited in our minds because we can't think up big enough things for God to do that God can do. So we're limited in a number of ways because we just haven't seen God do enough big stuff to realize he's capable of those big things. We know in an intellectual kind of way God's capable of way bigger things than what we can think of, but we can't think of the big enough things to believe him for him to do them, if that makes sense. So we've just got to come up with what we can and put our trust in God and ask. I couldn't help noticing in one of the songs that it said this was the year of Jubilee. I thought, man, that's a license to ask God for lots of stuff, because that was the year that everyone got their freedom in the Old Testament way of doing things. So fortunately with God, every year is a year of Jubilee. It's always the year to ask God for lots of things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures from the book of Matthew. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Isn't that saying the same thing in just different words? Yeah, it is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. There's another verse saying some similar things. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. This is the verse that Dad was sharing with us on New Year's Eve. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. At the start of last year, I wanted to see my web hosting business grow. And I prayed and asked the Lord that it would double in 2014. And I know it's kind of a personal thing and it's a career thing and it's got to do with money and it might not seem very spiritual. But tell you what, in 2014, my web hosting business tripled. Didn't double, it tripled. I didn't even think to pray for that. I just prayed for what I was asking for and God did even more. But the fact is I did actually pray and ask for things. And this year I'm saying to myself, man, what should I be praying for now? Who knows? But we got to pray for stuff. We've got to pray. I'll tell you what one of the biggest things that I pray for is, and I pray for it nearly every day, and I pray for it with a lot of heart, and I pray for the unity of the body of Christ in Rockhampton. Now, my heart is in praying for my business to grow. I do want to see that, but my heart is really in wanting to see the unity of the body of Christ in Rockhampton. That is where... That's the thing that I want to see answered more than just about any other thing. I can't think of any prayer in my life I would want to see more answered than that. And in the Bible it says that a house divided against itself can't stand. You've all read that verse? And the body of Christ is a house. It's God's people. And when God's people are not united, that means they're divided. And it's very hard for the body of Christ, when it's split up and divided, to stand up and have any great amount of success at all in the city. But when God's people are united, when we're all praying the same type of prayers in agreement right across the city, nothing is going to stand in the way of the powerful work of God taking place that he wants. I've prayed a lot over the years for people to get saved, and I still do. And I've shared the gospel a lot, and I still share the gospel with people whenever I get the chance. I was in Bunnings the other day and there was a guy there that was telling me how depressed he is because he's got stuck with this terrible house that he was had all this armful of all these painting things that he was buying. He was telling me he just wants his house to be finished so he can sell the thing and get rid of it. He's been stuck with this house and he's so depressed. Man, I offered to pray for him right then and there on the spot. I still take my chances to share the gospel and to pray for people and be a blessing. But I've come to see that while the body of Christ is not united, it's so much harder for the gospel to have success. But the Bible very clearly says that when we love one another, then the world will know And I can just, and the Bible says that united, think of the Tower of Babel. God said, with all these people together doing one thing, how can anything stop them? And when the people of God have one heart and one mind, nothing can stop them in this city. So that's why that's the thing I pray for more than anything. It's because really I'm seeing it as a slightly longer solution for the salvation of our city. I still pray for the salvation of our city, but I pray for the unity of the body of Christ even more, because I see that as the power that we need to change this city permanently and forever. And I also think about this world and all these needy people, and I think if our city was saved and transformed, man, there'd be a lot of missionaries to send. And that gives me a lot more inspiration to pray for our city too, because I feel that we could be a missionary sending city. I believe we're supposed to be a missionary sending city. And so that's one of the reasons why I pray for that more than anything else. And you should be praying for that too. Because if we don't pray for these things, we don't have these prayers answered. And what I do is whenever I drive past a church, I pray for the church. And I don't pray any kind of condemning critical prayers. I pray that the Lord would bless those people. I pray for the gospel to have power in their church. I pray for those people to recognize the body of Christ. Because what's the body of Christ? It's all of us. And I'm praying for them to recognize all of the other Christians in town. And so these are some of the things I pray for. And I've noticed that there have been changes taking place over the last few years. And it's not just me that prays this way, but we have to pray this way. I pray regularly for the advance of the kingdom in our city and in other places. And I pray for the spread of the apostolic message, which is, that's the job that God's given us to do. So I pray for all these things. But even so, I still keep feeling we've got to pray for more things. I feel like when we pray for things, we've got to pray with a heart. It can't just be a list of things that we say, oh God, give us that, give us that, give us that, and I've done my bit. We've got to pray with a desire to have the thing that we want, or to have the thing that's important. Because I feel like the desire is almost the prayer. I almost feel like the longing in the heart is actually a large part of what makes that thing a prayer itself. And I feel like if you just say, oh God, give us this, but you really don't care, then it's almost like you haven't actually prayed. It's almost like that. And so I feel like we have to say, we have to decide that things are important and we really want them, and we have to pray with desire. So we have a few little things to do as we bring this to a conclusion. I want to encourage you to join an early morning prayer meeting. In our church, we have 6, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, each morning at 6:00 to 7:00. It's only 1 hour and it goes fast. In fact, it goes faster, strangely enough, the more you get involved and pray. So you need to join an early morning prayer meeting, and when you join the early morning prayer meeting, you need to pray. If you think, I could never sit there for an hour and pray, well, what's the key? The key to make the hour go fast is to actually get in and pray. And you'll find that the hour seems to only be about 15 minutes long. And so that's my first encouragement to you. But my second encouragement to you is to do what my father was just telling you to do just a few minutes ago, was to get yourself a list of prayer goals and to determine what things are important and to make it your habit to pray believing prayers for these things. These things are in all these different categories that were mentioned: personal things, family things, and also some prayer goals for the ministry, for the kingdom, for the work of God. You have to do these things because this is what makes us Christian people. We are a people who pray. If we don't pray, then a large part of what it means to be a follower of Christ has been neglected. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. He didn't say, if you pray, he said, when you pray. So a large part of being a Christian is prayer. And so we, in following Christ, we pray, and we pray with faith, and we pray with desire, and we pray specifically. Specifically means we know what we want, and we're asking for it. And then when we pray like that, specific prayers with faith and with desire, trusting in the Lord, we then have the things that we are asking for. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to share one more scripture with you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's a scripture we all know very well and has been preached many times, but I feel like when we take an interest in what the Lord is interested in and we pray, then the Lord takes an interest in the things we're interested in, and we're surprised to find out how blessed we really are. So what I want to do now is I want to actually conclude with some united prayer, and then we're going to have a song after that. And I can't think of anything better to pray for to start with right now than the Sogwo Arig peoples who live in Tibet. So who feels inspired to join me in this type of prayer? If you don't feel inspired, you better decide to be inspired, right? Because when I was in the worship, I was realizing that the gospel came to me. I didn't go looking for the gospel. The gospel just turned up. I was born in a Christian home and I heard the gospel. I didn't even know I needed a gospel, but there the gospel was. And thank God I heard it and I believed it and I'm saved. And here's a group of people that never heard the gospel. They don't even know there is such a thing. They don't know to go looking for it. They make sacrifices to demons. Well, somebody's got to go take the gospel to these people. And if you are not inspired to go, you then at least need to be inspired to pray. Does that make sense? Yes. So if you're not feeling inspired to pray right now, decide to be inspired, because we're going to. And I already scoured the internet the last few days looking for to try to find a missionary that was working with these people. And I can't find one. I'm not saying there isn't one, because, you know, I know that missionaries in China don't generally publish all their details. But there didn't seem to be any information. And with mission societies, they would often say, we have a work amongst this people, even if they don't give the details. Well, there was no information. So I'd like to see in the next few years some information come out about these people. Who knows, maybe one of you will feel inspired. As a quick aside, before we do this praying, anyone can be a missionary, but there's two types of people who are best suited to be missionaries. Do you want to know who they are? It's young people who are single and they're wondering what to do with their life, but God's calling them to be a missionary. Those people are very well suited to going off to some place and serving God in that place their whole life. But there's another type of person too, and this person is retired. And this person has lots of spare time. And these people can go. So, if you're in either of those two categories, ask yourself, what am I supposed to be doing? If you're the younger person, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And if you're the retired person, what am I supposed to be doing with all my spare time? Because golf is nice, a little bit, but that's not the plan for your life. Golf and fishing and all these other things and the things that we do, they're nice things to enjoy in life, but they are not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is something else, and God can tell us what to do. And if you're in between the young and the retired, well, you might be called anyway. But personally, I feel that everyone living your life should live with a purpose to serve God when you retire. I purposely don't believe there is such a thing as retirement. I believe the only real retirement is getting to heaven. That's retirement. The only real superannuation is in heaven. That's when everything gets looked after and you don't have to worry about everything. Really, when you retire from paid work, now you begin your unpaid work. And that is serving the Lord wherever and however he tells you. And it could be in Tibet or it could be here. But whatever it is, it's whatever the Lord tells you to do and you need to be doing it. So that's the aside. So we're going to now pray for the Sogwo Arig people, and then I want to lead you in a couple more united prayers after that. Okay, so let's all stand and let's pray with heart and with a bit of desire and a bit of faith. Father, we ask this morning for the Sogro Arig people who live in Tibet. We ask, Heavenly Father, that right now in this world, that you would put on the heart of somebody a desire to go to those people. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the same gospel that came to us for free, we didn't even ask for it, that it would go to them for free. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would send people, just like you sent your son to us. I pray that they would hear the news of your son. I pray, Heavenly Father, they would stop sacrificing to demons. I pray they would sacrifice their lives to Jesus Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, there would be people who are brave enough to face the wild dogs and all the other challenges. And I pray, Lord, that you would give those people the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's pray for the unity of the body of Christ in Rockhampton. Father, I ask that you would put your hand upon the believers of this city, in the city of Rockhampton. I pray, Heavenly Father, you put your hand upon the church, upon everyone who calls upon your name and considers themselves a believer. Father, I ask that they would be united in one heart. I pray for there to be a recognition of the body of Christ in every congregation. I pray the eyes of your people would be opened to accept other Christians. And I pray, Father, we would have one church in the city and you would be able to do whatever you want here in this place. I pray. Let's pray for the spread of the apostolic message this year. Let's pray that God will give great success to the things we're going to do. Father, I pray that you put your hand upon the things we are going to do this year, 2015, and upon the spread of the apostolic message. I pray, Heavenly Father, it would spread rapidly and would be honoured. I pray wherever we go, or whether our teams go, or wherever the books or the messages go, I pray it would be accepted in the hearts of people and would spread rapidly. I pray, Heavenly Father, that it would be powerful in people's lives and would change their lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, you would take of our small effort and you would multiply it hundreds of times to produce a big result. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us grace. I pray. And let's pray for 2015 to be a blessed year, to bless our church, to bless the things we do, to cause us to grow. Father, I ask for 2015 that you would bless Peace Christian Church. Father, bless all the things we do, our initiatives in this city. Father, our services and our meetings and our outreaches. I pray for the church to grow. I pray you'd give us grace. I pray this year would be jubilee for us. I pray you'd release us from, Father, any debts. I pray, Father, you'd release us from, Lord, bondages and struggles. And I pray you'd give us the favour and the grace of all your people and the favour of God above all. And I pray that you would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail. In Jesus' name, amen.